First edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Thursday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to. And, of course, I won't do it. Coming up in the second hour of our show, it is the infamous, the notorious NWA Sports Report. All the usual suspects going to be checking in. We got to talk about Peyton Manning's comments on Kevin Durant. Lonzo Ball tears up the Summer League. I'm not a big one at Summer League. Cares about that. Mayweather versus McGregor, though. Shots fired at the press conference. I wonder if there was literal shots or, like, metaphorical shots, you know. It could have been literal shots. Major League Baseball All-Star game, I could care less. AL won. 2-1. I don't care. Because the Orioles are bad right now. NFL contracts, potential lockout, nah. Forbes list named the Dallas Cowboys. All right, that's all coming up on the NWA Sports Report. Before we get to sports, we continue our series of conversations on violence and homicide in Baltimore with a focus towards solutions as we move towards the Baltimore ceasefire happening August 4th to the 6th. It's not an event, it's a way of life, right?
That's right. Celebration of life.
Celebration of life. Celebration of life. I'm still not.
We're trying to make it a way of life.
Well, we are. But yeah. Celebration of life, then we'll make it a way of life.
Absolutely.
In the studio, two of the organizers of Baltimore Ceasefire. The voice you just heard is Ellen G. She's director of the Evolution of Perspective, one of the coordinators of the Baltimore Ceasefire movement. Ellen G., welcome back.
Thank you, Sean. Hey, how you doing?
I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling all right. And also in the studio, E. Wonder, Erica Bridgeford. She's the director of training at Community Mediation Maryland. She's also another coordinator of the Baltimore Ceasefire Movement.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. So, pick up your copy of the Afro newspaper. It is out today. Number one black newspaper in the world. It literally is the number one black newspaper in the world. I mean, that's actually real. But inside on the Baltimore section, which is my favorite section, especially now since I'm the Baltimore editor, part two of A Family on the Front Lines, outstanding series written by Bobby Marvin Holmes, former senior producer here at First Edition, highlighting Erica's family and her brother, specifically Nathan Pop Thomas. Really beautifully written story, Erica. It must have been. You didn't read it yet?
I have not read it yet.
Because you don't want to start crying.
Yeah, because I saw a picture of my dad and I was like, oh my
it was
goodness.
Your dad and my brother and your little and
yes,
your, and
my
your
nephew. And my brother told me right after the interview that so they did the interview on the steps of the house that we were raised
in. Rosemont, right.
Yes, in Normount Court. And Pop told me that him and my dad cried buckets of tears during that interview because they both heard each other talk about things in relation to, I guess, my brother Corny being murdered, but also just growing up,
yeah.
That they had never heard each other say before. So it's
something.
Yes, and it's a lot about their pain. You know, as men, they process their pain differently.
Yeah.
So my mother and I and my sister have been addressing our pain vocally and out loud in a lot of ways. The men just like call us on birthdays and holidays and stuff to check in and see how we're doing, but they don't really talk about it unless you go tell me about you, you know.
Right.
And so to have an opportunity it was like a grief counseling session for them, I think. And so, yeah, so I haven't got, me and my mom ran to 7-Eleven and bought it today, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Bobby described for me, I got a preview of what it was going to be like, because Bobby described the meeting when they sat down. Mm. And what happens is that for men, and it's so surreal in a lot of ways, Alan and Erica. We could stand, even families who aren't openly hostile towards each other could go for community mediation.
Oh yes,
because right. There's so much stuff that's not said,
mm-hmm. right.
that it would be probably a thing that would allow us to get things out in the open that we just haven't said, and that would do a world of good if they were said.
Yep.
I remember saying, and I don't want to get on me. I want to stay on y'all's family and obviously the ceasefire. But I remember one time saying something to my pops and saying, "Man, you must have been angry about that, right?" And he said, "Wow, I might have been. Mm-hmm. Like I had assumed."
Right.
And he had, you know, he had probably buried it so deep that he just didn't register, at least consciously. Right. And I mean, there are millions of us, millions of men across this country who have similar kind of experiences, you know, fathers and sons and other male relatives, where we just put our heads down and don't really divulge things. And that sometimes is at the root of a lot of the things that happen in our city that lead to violence.
Yep.
People being taught that it's stop being like a little girl when you cry. Like, crying is not a human thing to do.
Suck it up, you know? I mean,
you suck it right into your gut. Make yourself sick.
I mean, I remember, you know, playing sports. I mean, man, the things that they said to us when I was playing ball, they can't even say those things anymore today.
Right.
You know?
And men have been socialized to be, to only express emotion, anger, and every once in a while, happiness.
Yeah.
They don't even smile in pictures. you better not smile in a picture. Where's your stern face? But anger seems to be the only the only acceptable emotion for men, unless they're being tender with their children.
Right.
Then it's okay if that every once in a while they get to be tender with the woman that they love, but
every once in a while
well, people give them permission.
If you're good, more than everyone.
Yeah. Right, if you're good, right.
I try to be good.
The idea that men, even like the Twitter hashtag Black Boy Joy, like that had to become a thing because men joy. Why would I go around expressing joy? And I remember one of my friends said to me when I was hosting a rap session, we were talking about men and expression of emotion, and he was like, "Ellen, you can't be putting these men out here like that. That makes them vulnerable when they express emotion." And I was floored by that comment, because as a woman, I have both the ability and the capacity to sit in all of my emotions all day long. I might get labeled crazy for doing it, but like nobody is writing me off or preying on me because I'm expressing all of my emotions, and men don't have room to do that.
True. I want to come back to the second part of the series in a few minutes, but first I want to ask you both, a lot keeps moving with y'all's movement. I'm seeing everybody, people coming in and bigger spaces. I think that, you know, I'll say it like this. I'm an optimistic person by nature, number one. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when people see something that is good and positive, right, especially in the context of a city that is suffering and struggling like Baltimore is, people are looking for outlets or ways, that things that they can tap into and touch.
Something
that they can tap into to try to help, right?
Yeah.
So now we bring Baltimore ceasefire forward. People are like, wow, that's hip. That's a good idea. Yeah. And now larger entities seem to be coming in and giving their support, which is a great thing.
That is absolutely wonderful. Because they have a reach that the six of us don't.
Right.
So absolutely.
They get to expose the message and the idea. First of all, the idea that there are people who want to do something. There are people who want to see, because there's this misconception that don't nobody care about violence in the community, ain't nobody doing anything about it.
That's a lie.
It's a big lie. Mostly because that's not what is put in the forefront in our messaging. So we're always talking about people dying, but not the people who are trying to prevent people from dying.
Right.
And so seeing this is a confirmation to a lot of people, oh no, people are doing stuff.
And people have already been doing stuff. So a lot of just like way before the media, we knew as an organizing squad that the six of us didn't have the reach that everybody else in Baltimore had. And so you have to organize something in a way that it is about everybody. And they take ownership of it. You called the ceasefire. It's not just about us. You did this. And to tell the absolute truth, all the media outlets received the press release in May. So it's not that they are just hearing about it.
Right.
But it's just that they are seeing it pop up enough places that they're taking it seriously enough that they consider it news.
Right.
Right. So when we said it was news back in May, because we just were like, hey, we're doing this thing.
That's what we're doing.
They was like, hit us back when it actually looked like something, you know. And we were too once, but now we got too busy to keep. We're not gonna keep begging the media for, hey, can you help push this message out? But once Baltimore residents said this is my thing,
right,
we're gonna do it ourselves, and they went out and did it. The six of us didn't put the posters everywhere you see them, and then all the offices and flyers everywhere.
We didn't do that.
There's no way in the world we can do all of that. And so, so now it has reached the tipping point,
right,
you know, where now the phone is blowing up. And my favorite call of today was somebody called me and said, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm ready to take the Baltimore Peace Challenge. And she said it just like that. I was like, you are so Baltimore. I'm loving you right now. And I was like, what you want? Flyers, posters? She was like, I want all of that. It's too much going on in my neighborhood. I'm going to give it out myself on the street.
Yes.
I was like, yes. So I told her where to go to pick up flyers. And so what's also beautiful is the reason we have so many flyers and posters is because people make donations through PayPal. That PayPal is not connected to anybody's personal account. It is only a PayPal that's connected to Gmail through PayPal, you know. But because people make donations, we're able to send payments from PayPal straight to the printer. And shout out to who is that? Harbor East Printing. They keep making stuff. You know?
Like, people keep donating. We had someone, and I apologize because I can't think of his name right now, but he donated 5,000 flyers to us.
That's awesome.
Oh, David Miller donated.
Yes.
Oh, David.
Yes.
Warwick Warrior.
Yes.
He met me, and I was like, can you meet me at Mondawmin? He was like, bet. And in the park of the Mondawmin, we made a transaction where he gave me free. Dropped off 5,000 flyers.
I mean, that is, I would have done the exact same thing. I'd have been like, yo, meet me at Mondawmin.
Right.
Meet me at Mondawmin.
Right.
How can you not? I have said this, and this is slightly off conversation, but I have said before, I've been saying for years that West Baltimore, okay, I'm about to do my, West Baltimore is the heart of Baltimore.
I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm just saying, West Baltimore is the heart of Baltimore, and Mondawmin is the heart of West Baltimore.
It is, yes.
It is. It definitely is.
Mondawmin Mall is the heart of West Baltimore.
Yep. It is.
It's the heartbeat.
Yeah.
It is the heartbeat.
The most successful mall in Maryland?
I have to figure out what East Baltimore and West Baltimore.
So black people's money.
Oh, yeah, cash money.
Yeah, because it's cash.
Because
it's not credit.
Cash money mall.
Yeah.
Wow. First mall in America.
Ogun is yelling East Side on Facebook.
Wow.
Too late.
We have to figure out what part of the body East Baltimore is. If West Baltimore is the heart.
That's really good.
Because
that's
East good. Baltimore has a very strong fighting
then
spirit.
Then they can say the soul.
Okay.
If we're the heart, then they're the soul. It's not really
it's
true.
It's a good thing radio can't see my face.
Wait a minute, hold up. He's like, what are you doing?
It's not.
So then I was going to ask what South Baltimore is, and I'm from South Baltimore, but I ain't going to ask that question. I ain't going to ask.
Right. So anyway, let me stop. All right. Do you want to name some of the people or other people that, I mean, you named David, obviously, other people or entities that have come on board, or would you rather not or keep that under, or whatever?
I think in order to, because it, we don't want it to be one of those things where we shout out some people, and because it's been so many people that, but I mean, like, Baltimore really stepped up to the plate, like, as late as yesterday. As late as yesterday. Like, we were posting, Erica did an interview with some people in another country, and
yes,
Ryan Trump
was dead.
Yeah, and people, when we were sitting outside debriefing from that, people were sending
money.
Offerings in. People like, y'all need money. I can't be out in the streets, but I can give you some money. And then there are people who can't give us money, so they out in the streets.
Yeah. And my favorite part too today is there've been some awesome attacks today.
Yes.
And the more people, and so I made a post about being just tired of being one of the, I'm notorious for a lot of things, and one of them is riding for black men.
Mm-hmm.
And also, people who have watched my journey have seen me get attacked by black men at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that was happening. It's been happening real heavy, especially in the last 2 weeks, which means that the Baltimore ceasefire has gotten big enough for people to see an attack, but none of it has come from any white people or white women or men. It's all been black men. So I made a post asking other black men, can y'all get your mans in them? Like, let them know this is not cool. This is not the thing to do. Don't alienate the women who, if they leave you, then what do you have, right? But what that did, because the attacks came, when I say black men swarmed.
Come on now.
Today.
They said, who messed with you?
Who?
You didn't hear what Sean said.
Before
the show started.
All you got to do.
Yeah, right? So not
at your
only.
Boy. We can go see him.
Swarmed, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, hey, they clearly don't know me or who they messing with.
No, they really
but
don't.
But B, like, so many people now like the page today,
yep.
Sent money,
yep.
Hit us on inbox, yep. Can I get some flyers?
So we're just going to call them angels. We're going to call them haters angels.
Yep. I told them today, thank you for the promotion.
They just angels.
If God just sent them, could leave a comment on their page without getting blocked and say thank you. Because I mean it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You're doing what we ask people to do, to have conversations about the ceasefire.
Yeah.
You're doing that.
I don't. I've had a lot of head scratching moments the last few days. That's one of them because I've been described by black women as an ally of black women.
Yes. You are,
right?
Yes,
absolutely.
But the point is that I don't understand why a black man would consciously know that a black woman is in their corner and attack that same black woman.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But they don't know her. Because
I guess.
My favorite part is they Googled me evidently, and so they found out where I work, which is not a secret because I rep what I do all day long, right? But they were like, oh, she is a fake white liberal organization that's really behind this movement, and she is the black menstrual face that they put up front. So you Google me, misspelled my name. I don't know how you Google me and still misspelled my name. My first name, all right, but my last name is Phonic. So if you don't know how to spell Bridge, should you really even be allowed to post on Facebook?
Come on,
that's
now.
The real question.
Come on.
So, like, it's just amazing they Googled me and purposely misconnected all of the dots and said that because we have an AmeriCorps program and Hogan gave money to AmeriCorps, that means that if you follow the money, I'm funded by Hogan. Like, what are you saying right
We've
now?
We've collected, what, $1,200 in donations?
It's crazy.
So, nah.
And then look at those nice, shiny posters that they have. This can't be a grassroots movement. He literally said that. And I'm like, yo, the money comes from people.
People
we don't have
given us money.
It's not in nobody's account.
I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say publicly, y'all are messing with the wrong people.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah. And you messing with Baltimore. That's the thing that's really
right.
Messing me up. Because you are attacking something because you see so many people owning it. And you mad that people didn't own whatever you tried to do because you didn't know how to organize in a way that included everybody.
Oop.
Don't be mad that we have said this belongs to the people. And so the people say, yes, thank you. I got that. I'm running with it. You mad because you wanted to make something all about you. And so people didn't support it. And so you're attacking Baltimore. Not only that, if you did, they attack because they saw the Fox 45 story, right? In the story, I'm literally crying about losing my brother. So you purposely also attacking a homicide survivor.
Right.
Yeah, right. they really do it. They're messing. They're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. I mean, and I'm saying that, I'm not saying that jokingly. I'm saying seriously. Y'all are really y'all are making a mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as I mean, out of kindness, y'all are making a mistake. I'm
he's
serious.
Using his nice.
That's
words.
The scary black man right. voice. I'm being nice right now, actually,
because that's you can't. I mean, you know, that's I mean, that's like that. That's you. I mean, to attack if they attack you as a homicide, the victim, a survivor of homicide. I'm a survivor of homicide. My
right.
mother.
So you attacking
so you're attacking
everybody.
Me?
That's right.
Right. So like, do you want to see people die? Like, is that
like what you is would, your problem?
But I actually saw right. somebody type on a post.
Yeah.
I would love to see this fail. And I'm like, what?
So you
where
want
are
people to
people,
die?
Where are people? I don't. I really cannot understand. I don't get it. Yeah. We are asking for 72 hours of peace, 72 hours of the city celebrating life, 72 hours of Baltimore loving on Baltimore. And your thing is, I ain't come up with it, so I'm not going to support it. Well, stay in the house.
Crazy. Stay in the house.
Stay in the house.
And my favorite, so Ogun, oh my goodness. He gets tired of watching the attacks, and then he be like, so let's be clear. Are any of y'all planning on killing anybody that weekend?
Right.
Because if y'all not, then y'all support the ceasefire. So
exactly.
shut up. If you're not
exactly.
busting your gun that weekend, you support peace for that weekend. Yep. So you can shut up now. Yeah. That's my favorite.
But I mean, what's also odd, and we're going to take a break in a minute, but what's also odd is that you made it clear and have made it, both of y'all have made it clear on more than one occasion on this show that y'all don't take credit as being the originator of the ceasefire
no.
concept.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
no.
it's been Mm-mm. other people have,
it's an
have come up with
ancient idea.
It. Right,
absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not about, you know.
Mm-mm. One of my friends asked whether or not we trademarked the name ceasefire because, well, he was asking because he said he wanted to start a movement in his city.
Mm-hmm.
I said, start a movement
in
your
city
and call it a ceasefire.
And call it a ceasefire.
Let me take
absolutely.
One quick phone call before we take a break. Let's go to Reverend Daki Napata for his comment. Daki, you're on First Edition.
Yeah, first of all, Sean, I want to thank you very much for having this very serious discussion.
Of course.
Happen, and I'm glad you have the ability to laugh, but also to come back to seriousness. You know, I went on my first demonstration at 2 years old, and I'm 65. And by God's grace, I have the energy, even when at times I get tired, but to continue because they're good people, they're good friends, they're an alliance and coalition. They not only encourage you, but give you concrete material support. One of the things I would suggest to these women after having congratulated and even standing up and having the courage not only to be a survivor, but to have been delivered.
Mm. Now, mm, delivered, he said. Mm.
Yeah, I said it because, you know, one, I was sexually abused twice as a youngster, and but by the grace of God, I would be a pedophile. Mm. The good coaches and teachers at Morgan, and I could go on and on, empowered me in ways that kept me from repeating the demonic acts that were put on me and put in me and put around me.
Amen.
That restored my spirit, my mind, my body, and my path in life. And so I thank Morgan because as a student activist, we started this station 40 years ago, and people say we couldn't do it, and we did it. Collected the petition drivers and a whole range of people, from Sandy Mallory to T. Montier, and even a sister who people used to ridicule, who was a Seventh-day Adventist with a wig and a
right.
long dress, and that girl outworked everybody. You know, so I say to you that one of the tools, and I'll get off, and thank you, Sean, for the time, and ladies, for your indulgence. One of the things that we learn in doing activism and organizing, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. put out a call of conscience and action. That was a comprehensive statement that was signed by, with minimal demands, that was signed by churches and synagogues, right. labor unions, and activists, and a whole range of students in particular, young people. And that call to conscience was put in a concrete statement. It was signed by those organizations and said, this is what we're trying to do. And it began to gather a momentum, so it became a movement and not just an action.
And we understand, Daki, unfortunately, we literally are out of time for this segment. But, brother, we appreciate the enthusiasm and encouragement, especially coming from you, because you are a veteran of the movement. And we appreciate your time, brother. Thank you. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with Erica Bridgeford and LNG of the Baltimore Ceasefire. We'll talk more about it as we continue with an eye on solutions, August
yes.
4th to the 6th, 72 hours without violence. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition. First edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yost, your host, continuing the conversation about Baltimore ceasefire, 72 hours without violence from August 4th to the 2nd. We are
the 6th.
6th. I'm sorry, I'm bugging. 4th through the 6th. That's 72 hours. 4th through the 6th. Nobody killed anybody for those 3 days. In the studio with two of the organizers of Baltimore Ceasefire, Erica Bridgeford is Director of Community Director of Training for Community Mediation Maryland. Ellen G. is Director of the
Evolution of Perspective.
I had the perspective.
It's all right. It's all right.
The evolution, I was stuck there. But so the bottom line is that with success always comes trolling. And
trolling. It's a troll.
And that's
so
that's,
nice.
But ultimately, we're going to count it all as joy because because that negativity has spawned like 10 times the amount of positivity.
Exactly.
So we're happy about that. So what can people, let's talk more about, let's continue the conversation about what people can do or what events or things or situations are being organized around the 72 hours of nonviolence. Can we have any updates for the people?
So the first thing that people can do is take it upon themselves to learn what the ceasefire is. I think that probably to educate yourself about what the hashtag Baltimore Ceasefire, hashtag Baltimore Peace Challenge is, so that there are no misconceptions, so that when you're going out into the community to talk to people about what it is, that you have a really clear understanding. I think if more people spent time, sometime, 2 minutes, I don't care, learning about what it is and what it's not, then that would create a sure footing for conversations that people have when they go out into the community.
Yeah. Things that are happening. So like we said, so many people are planning things. We know that Shelley's Helping Hands is having a peace rally on Friday, August 4th in the evening. I think it's 7 p.m., but you can go to the Baltimore Ceasefire page or Shelley's Helping Hands to find it. It is a peace rally at Emerson Avenue and Wildwood Parkway. We know that on Saturday there's a sip and paint at the Community Mediation Center in the evening. On Saturday morning at 8 a.m., if anybody wants to do a meditation walk with me at the Labyrinth on 33rd Street at the Y, we're doing a silent meditation walk for healing and cleansing and stuff. There are other events that are happening that weekend. They're like Feeding the Homeless. Is that mm-hmm. Dwayne Davis and them?
Feeding the homeless. They're doing a homeless.
And so that was already scheduled before the ceasefire got announced, but they have now said, you know, since it's happening that weekend, they are attaching it to the ceasefire weekend. I just saw a post today, what's Michelle Dewberry's?
There's a day party.
There's a day party. Okay, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so Sangria, formerly the Red Maple. There's a day party there for the Show Your Love tour, and part of the proceeds from that event will go to Ceasefire. The Free Up, which is an event that I don't know who the organizers of the Free Up is, who they are, but their party is the first Saturday of the month.
Oh,
just
nice.
So happens to fall, and so I'm going to be at all the parties. That's how I'm going to show my support. People are planning a lot of things, and so what we're doing is telling people, make sure you let us know so that we can put it on the flyer, not on the flyer, on the calendar. Mm-hmm. That way, if people don't have things that they plan on their own and they want to come join you, then, you know, they can come and have a good time. And what about Sunday? Is Sunday confirmed?
So what we don't know what time, but what's confirmed on Sunday. So from the very first meeting, people talked about in the squad has been trying to figure out how to have a vigil on Sunday to close out the ceasefire, to call the names of people who've been murdered this year, and honor everybody who's lost their lives to violence in general. But we wanted a space that was big enough. So today we had a meeting with the Real News Network, okay, who said we can use the third floor. Cool. I'm not sure how many people it holds, but well,
that's a good amount.
Yes, yay. Okay, so and then Easy Jackson was like, well, because we were talking about accessibility and can people get there on a Sunday and whatever. And so he said, well, if we have a peace march from Shot Tower to the Real News Network, then it gives people to, right, net people can get a march, people can, you know, park at Shot Tower or catch the subway to Shot Tower, right, and it makes it accessible for a lot more people.
And that way we incorporate East Side into
East,
it.
There you go. East Side.
There you go. There you go. We worked it in.
There you go. So we don't know what time yet because we are waiting to hear when the third floor is available. So from there, we'll work backwards, like, you know, to when the march is going to be to get there. So
I don't know if Easy is listening tonight, but I want to personally, first of all, acknowledge that brother's courage for what he did recently.
Yes.
And he allegedly just came out of that facility, and he's feeling a lot better. So
he looked good when I saw him.
God bless you, man. And I'm open invitation. Come on the show and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I would love that. It would be great if he came back on next Thursday with y'all.
I'm a talent.
Yes.
Let's tag them at the same time. Yeah. Get up and be like, easy.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to, for the brother to come in and talk to us, and I can give him a hug. You know what I mean?
Darnell told me to say, I'm sorry, tonight we'll be at Jazzy Summer Nights.
Oh, okay.
Hopkins Plaza, yeah. It's going to be, we aren't going to be on the mic, but it'll be announced on the mic, and we're going to be in the crowd giving out flyers. So if you're at Hopkins Plaza this evening, be talking about the ceasefire just because you know about it, but you'll see us giving flyers out.
All right,
and there is a meeting tonight at 6 p.m. I am about to get the address information. And there are other, so there are lots of people who are doing things in the city. And
yes.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk and scroll at the same time.
Oh, and Alpha Justice is sleeping outside overnight night. Where did they see they were doing
I
that?
I think in Irvington.
In Irvington. So during the ceasefire weekend, they're going to camp out all night with food and tents and everything because it's a violent area.
Cool.
Yeah. So all I'll right. be there.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me take a phone call real quick. Let's go to Crystal in Baltimore who wants to talk to us. Crystal, you're on with Erica and LNG.
Okay, thank you. Ladies, I appreciate so much your pro-action with this effort. But I got an epiphany several years ago. I wanted to see what you guys think about it. Perhaps if we stop killing each other in our neighborhoods, we might get more respect from the police that our lives are not so expendable. They see us killing each other. It increases their ability to have no remorse on killing us. What do you guys think of that concept?
I think that respect is something that is that should be granted to people regardless of how they act. I also believe that proximity violence, aka black on black crime, has very little to do with why the police
Crystal, thank you,
kill
Nicole.
People. I think that if somebody decides that they want to take your life, how you treat yourself really sometimes is of no consequence. And even if black people stopped killing each other magically today or tomorrow, that we would still experience police brutality.
Well, I mean, let's be clear, the dehumanization of black people has been a process over
hundreds of years.
Yeah. So
you respond people, not just white people, black people respond to black people as if the way you react to an animal, like that you automatically assume the animal is about to do something dangerous. So you just automatically go to violence. It doesn't dawn on you to try to reason with the, right. with a lion, you know? And so, and people killing each other, no matter what ethnicity, is just a result of America being a violent place.
Truth.
So
a place born of violence.
Born of violence, nurturing violence. And so I'm not going to blame. Yes, Baltimore can take accountability where we can, but we're not going to act like we invented being violent to one another. It's a reaction to a whole lot of stuff.
I have the information. So the Lazarus Rite, 7 East Franklin Street tonight from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Solution, strategy, and planning meeting for Baltimore's public safety and public health crisis.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit more about this second part of the series of Family on the Front Lines. It's part two with the nice Baltimore ceasefire logo right at the top.
I saw that. Yes. I was like, thank you. Thank you how they did that.
See what we did? So this we already talked about this emotional kind of cathartic meeting between your brother, your dad, and your nephew, right on the steps of where y'all kind of grew up in Rosemount, Northmont Court, right?
Normount
Court. The thing that was fascinating to me when Bobby told me this or approached me to do this story. I mean, I knew part of it because of my friendship with you, but the thing that is so important to show, to demonstrate, is that, you know, the whole notion of us as victims and only victims is a lie from the pit. And that because of this resilience that we talk about all the time, we have the ability to turn situations that are tragic, catastrophic, into ones that are victorious.
Yeah.
And you all have emerged and are emerging and continue to emerge victoriously from a difficult, incredibly difficult series of events.
Yeah.
One that took your brother's life.
Yeah.
Pop got shot.
Yeah.
Addiction, I mean, all of that. And y'all have been able to spin it into a different direction. Thank God, right?
Yeah. So I think it's a few things. One is ever since we were little, my father always told us we were tough Thomases. that's a thing in our family. It's you're a tough Thomas. And so we joke about it, but it really, you know, my brothers all played football. My youngest brother ran track and was a wrestler and played football. And so, and he was a star in all three of those and won nationals and stuff. So, but that was all. So there's the tough Thomas thing, but there's also the if you think something is wrong, you should be doing something about it thing. That as black people, you are supposed to have a social consciousness. And I've been hearing that since before I knew what the word consciousness meant.
But your pops was a Black Panther.
My
right?
daddy was a Panther. Right. So my parents were teenagers when they had me. My mom was 16, my dad was 18, and my dad was a Panther. And they purposely wanted to have a boy so they could name me Malcolm Patrice. Wow. So my middle name was going to be after Patrice Lumumba. Yes. Yeah. And so because I came out a girl, they named me Erica after Erica Huggins, and my middle name is Angela after Angela Davis. So when I say they named me after the revolution, it's not a joke.
Literally.
They really, and my mom says to me all the time that they knew what I was going to be before I was born because they set an intention, and that in the womb she knew what I was going to be. And so, but that mindset permeated our family that as black people, we are supposed to have a social consciousness, and we specifically are tough Thomases. We also believed that you can choose eternal life, right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so it meant we rarely got sick. In real life growing up, we rarely got sick. And so to lose one of us was a huge crack in our family structure, in our foundation, and a devastating blow, one that I don't think we will ever recover from fully. We will just live with the deep scar of losing Corny. But it's already in our foundation that you use pain to show up as a tough Thomas, whatever that means to each individual person, and to take responsibility and be conscious in the world. And so that's what all of us have in our own different ways struggled through and figured out our own footing and how to do. And without parents like mine, it's no way you can have a live in the ghetto, have a child that has a disability, you know, have sons who get called to the streets where you're trying to keep them in the house. Technically, our whole family should be a different type of statistic.
Truth, facts. I mean, that's real. And that's why this story is so important. Let me take another phone call real quick. Let's go to Ock in Baltimore. Hopefully add some encouragement. Ock, you're on with Erica Bridgeford and LNG, Baltimore Ceasefire.
All right, how y'all doing?
All right,
hello.
Brother.
Good evening.
Yeah, cut to the chase. These young boys doing all that killing is just doing police work, sending out the herd. I don't mean no harm. Some of these niggas need to be shot. Y'all have a good one.
Right. Wow, right. He really just said
okay.
that.
Yeah. All right.
And then said, have a good one.
And then, because he ain't want to hear us be like, sir, that is not peace.
No.
That's the opposite of the Baltimore ceasefire.
It's so the opposite.
Yeah. So let's keep talking.
Yeah.
So but you know what? Hold on, pause. Because that, we talk about the mentality of othering people and how we disconnect people from their humanity based on their actions and how that perpetuates a sense of just disconnection.
That's right.
Like, we're all not interconnected.
There's something different from me, so they can just get killed.
Right. No, as you were getting ready to say that, Ellen, that was in my mind because the thought that I had when I said that, and Ock is a good brother. He calls all
right,
the time,
right.
You know. But there's a lot of fear. And fear breeds that type of contempt, right?
Yep.
I mean, and a fear will cause somebody to say, or anger will cause somebody to say, man, some of these cats deserve what they get.
Right.
Yeah. You
and
know?
Who deserves to be murdered?
Right.
Who?
Right.
I get accused of being a bleeding heart. I firmly believe that everything that we put out into the universe comes back to us. So if we think that it's okay to murder somebody based off of what they did and not, so the focus is not on healing. It's not on rehabilitation.
No.
It's not on making people better, or at least giving them the opportunity to be better than what they were. It's automatically dispose of them.
Yeah.
They are a problem. They are a cancer to society. Don't give them a chance to be better. Just dispose of them.
Yeah.
And I would hate to think of what, like, if somebody disposed of me when I was out there doing what I was supposed to be doing.
And recognizing that the universe says yes to your thoughts. So if you are saying that it's okay to kill people when they fall or are bad or make a mistake, the universe goes, okay, that's what you think is okay. So
right.
you don't get forgiveness in your life. You don't get compassion in your life. You don't get second, third, and 17 chances in your life because you think it's okay to dispose of
somebody
people. Never understanding that you cannot fail to do to yourself what you do to other people.
Right.
Right? That is A Course in Miracles. You cannot fail to do to yourself what you do to other people.
Mm.
And the minute we understand that, we would treat each other so much different.
Truth.
Because we understand that there are no others.
There can't be any others. There's only one of us.
That's true. You know? And that is that. I said to myself, I wasn't going to say this on the air because I don't. So I just saw some cats that I saw earlier in the day who was asking for money.
Okay.
And I kept walking. And then I saw the cats again, and I was getting some gas. And I mean, it's 101 degrees outside.
It is.
And I just said, man, just ask these cats if they have water.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's hot.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, do y'all have water? And I just gave them a few dollars. And one cat said, well, no, I got water. And the other cat was like, well, I don't have water. but the point is, the only reason I'm saying that is that we have to, in the midst of whatever we're going through or our busy days, because God knows every minute seems to be filled up in my day, but we gotta take just a split second to think about each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
That's it.
It takes courage to be consistently compassionate.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to be that.
Yeah. And following that quiet nudge you know.
Right, and that's what that was.
It was just a quiet nudge. Time, yeah, and you do feel it when you walk away and you didn't follow it.
Yes.
Guess what's going to come back? Another opportunity to honor the quiet nudge and follow
its
guidance. It's
the same cat with his boy. And,
right.
And so it was like, okay.
All right, here you go again, Sean. Right. Let's try it again this
Let's
time.
Let's try it one more
and
time.
And you feel
and
differently
action.
When you follow it than if you don't.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So let's take some more phone calls. It looks like the phones are lighting up. Let's pray for positive. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let's go to, is it Malik first on line one? Malik, you
Hello?
There? Hey, brother.
Yeah,
how you doing, man?
How you doing today?
All right, sir.
I'm on, yeah. These ladies are very positive, and that's important. I think they're very strong. It takes a lot of courage to do what they do. And I kind of understand
Thank
people
you.
With anger. Yeah, I definitely, I spoke to Erica on Facebook. I missed the meeting y'all had, but I understand why people may be angry
mm-hmm.
because if you feel threatened, I know if my family feels threatened, I'm going to do what I got to do, but I don't put them in harm's way. You know?
Right.
I try to avoid it, but I think it's important that, you know, I was listening to NPR about this lady taking pictures of people that died, and a lot of people just don't have opportunity, but one of the ways we can cultivate opportunities through education, being a part of my kids' PTA, dealing with the issue of fixing the gap, that's kind of the tip of the iceberg. It's not a quick fix. And you talk about conflict resolution. I mean, am I correct? The city doesn't fund conflict resolution amongst people. Is that correct? And there are other organizations that do that?
So,
Malik, thanks for the call.
Thank
bro.
You. Thank you for that. So I have the fun job of training people. So I'm really not sure about like the funding and grant writing that happens. So I know that there are some funders who are Baltimore based, like the Able Foundation and others, right, who do give grants to the local community mediation center.
Right.
Statewide, there's an arm of the judiciary that is just, that's their whole job, is to give funding to conflict management efforts all over Maryland. And so all the community mediation centers get funding from, that's called MACRO, the Maryland Mediation and Conflict Resolution Office. And so, right now, the Baltimore Police Department has partnered with community mediation to make sure that police officers, as a part of their end service, have to participate in a youth police dialogue. And so where we're bringing together small groups of police and small groups of youth to just get to know each other as human beings and have hard conversations. So in different ways, different pieces of city agencies and organizations right. support the work at community mediation. And this question about how much more money should we be getting?
Well, right. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Dre in Northwest Baltimore. Dre, you're on with Erica and Ellen.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I didn't really catch the guest in terms of what they're talking about, but I caught that last caller when he was talking about, you know, people should be killed. I don't agree with that at all, but one of the things, I mean, I'm very conscious of uplifting our people, but one of the things I think we do, we are making excuses for negative behavior, and we endorsing a lot of that and not holding people accountable. And then when all this stuff happens, we want to blame this or, you know, these youth, you know, I don't mean no harm. They 13, 14, and they murdering and doing carjacking, and folks just want to say they the babies, but they doing grown people stuff. I mean, so do we supposed to charge them as adults, or do we supposed to look the other way? And I think that, you know, we have culpability in that because we make excuses for a lot of negative behavior in the black community. And it's unacceptable, you know. And
okay.
then when you say that, now you bougie, you a sellout black. But certain behavior is just unacceptable. I don't care how you try to spin it or what.
Okay.
You know, and I think that sometimes we do that. We make, you know, excuses for negative
Okay, Dre.
I think that people confuse compassion with excusing behavior and understanding. With I don't think that anybody is. I mean, maybe there are some people who are like, "Well, they just babies," but I don't think that we are as a community are saying that it's okay for these kids to be out here doing what they're doing. I don't know. I've never heard somebody say that.
Right. But and at the same time, we do have to understand, if you understand human cognitive development, you cannot debate that they are just babies.
Right.
And that they got created. They were not born carjacking and robbing and stealing and killing. So they got created and failed along the way, traumatized, abused, and all types of stuff. And so it is, we do have culpability.
We do.
And that they got created. Yes. And then we want to throw them in the trash when they start acting like the monsters that we created.
Let's take some more calls. Let's go to Lila next. Lila, you're on with Ellen and Erica.
Yes, Ellen and Erica, thank you so much for what you're doing. It takes, as the other caller said, a great deal of courage.
But, you're welcome.
You're absolutely right. We do this to the least of us. We do it to ourselves. And I don't think I've heard that expressed so eloquently. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Lala. Let's go to Thomas in Churchville. Thomas, you're on with Ellen and Erica. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Sean, how are you, my friend?
All right, brother.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies. How are you?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Listen, if you keep doing the same thing 17 different times, that's not a mistake. That's intentionally done. These young kids out here nowadays, guys, they are intentionally murdering people, okay? This is something that they sit back and intentionally visualize doing somehow, okay? How do we change that? I never thought I would be one to say that I'm for public execution or execution, but maybe we need to start, maybe we need to look at that road of it too, because I'm going to tell you something. If you execute a few of them, I'll guarantee you the rest of them are going to get the message.
All right. Thomas, thank you for your call.
People get executed in America all the time, and that doesn't deter people from committing crime.
So I was very involved in the repeal of the death penalty, so I'm thinking that this guy is not real clear that there's no such thing as a death penalty in Maryland anymore, because it has A, been found to be extremely racist, B, extremely inhumane, and also it is not a deterrent. So in Baltimore, there is an automatic death penalty on the street. You know that when you kill somebody, you are now on the run because you are next.
Right.
People know that. And murder is not a sane frame of mind. So if we keep talking about it as if people are thinking through consequences when they are in a murderous, before they kill somebody, that's a problem that we are not addressing. Like, they're not thinking through consequences when you're trying to kill somebody. So to say, let's just kill all the babies that kill somebody, good luck with that.
I'm happy that this is an ongoing conversation.
Good luck with that.
It's a series of conversations, so next Thursday we can start again.
Right. Why do you think all these people getting killed? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, they know they can get killed. That's Baltimore. You can get killed.
Exactly.
Ellen, that's not going to stop you.
Ellen G. is director of the Evolution of Perspective and one of the coordinators for the Baltimore Ceasefire Movement. Ellen, good to see you, sis.
Always a pleasure, Sean.
E. Wonder, Erica Bridgeford, is director of training for Community Mediation Maryland, another one of the coordinators for the Baltimore Ceasefire, August 4th through the 6th, 72 hours, nobody killed anybody. Erica, good to see you, sis.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break when we come back. NWA Sports Report, stay tuned.